justice of the Supreme Court of Virginia City. All persons having business with this court will draw near and give their attention. Any having pleas to enter or suits to prosecute, let them come forward and they shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth and this honorable court.
You may be seated. Welcome to this session of the Supreme Court of Virginia. The session is being broadcast on a live audio feed, which can be accessed through the Supreme Court of Virginia website. Senior Justice Lawrence Koontz is participating virtually from his office in Salem in these arguments. Please call the first case. Counsel, you may proceed.
Your Honor, may I remove my mask?
Yes, you may.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court. My name is Trey Mayfield. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. John Fines. Mr. Fines was molested while he was a child by an employee of the appellee, the Rappahannock Area Community School Board.
Community Services Board.
I apologize. Looking at too many municipalities lately. The specific question before the court is whether or not a government body such as this, a regional entity created by multiple municipalities, has sovereign immunity from suit. Put another way, whether or not Mr. Fines has any legal remedy for what happened to him. Two particular reasons have been raised by the court below and by the appellee justifying why it should not be subject to suit. The first of these is a claim that it is an arm of the Commonwealth. The second is that it has the equivalent attributes of a municipality such that it should be deemed to have the sovereign immunity of a municipality. Neither of these things are true. First, the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board was not created directly by the General Assembly. There are intermediate institutions that created it, namely municipalities. Under this court's precedent in Prendergast, that means it is by definition not an arm of the state. When a municipality creates a body, not the state, it is not an arm of the state.
Counsel, does it matter that the General Assembly directed localities to create this? In other words, they weren't acting on their own initiative. This is a little different.
Certainly, Your Honor, there is dicta in Prendergast that notes quite in the middle of the sentence that said activated at the optionality of the local bodies. But the key holding in Prendergast was not only that it was created by the municipalities, but secondly, that in order to perform its functions, it had to keep returning to the municipalities to get permission to do its work. That brings us to the second reason here. This particular entity is too subordinate to be sovereign. The board does not have most of the attributes that this court said were dispositive in VEPCO. For instance, it cannot borrow money. It cannot issue bonds. It is not designated as a body politic, which is, as this court noted in Short Pump, something that the legislature is perfectly capable of doing, and the most obvious means by which it would say that a municipality or a municipally created entity is the equivalent. Sure. It's an interesting question, Your Honor, and I do not know the legislative history as to why, as the appellee noted, that there are really only two bodies that have the authorities as opposed to the board. But what is interesting is that neither one of them have the phrase to sue or be sued contained in their powers, which goes to appellee's argument on standing. The question there is really an interesting one, and it is this. Normally when we think of a power or a right, we think of it as the ability of someone to be sued, or to sue, rather, I have a right to sue, or have a right or power to be free from suit. But we don't usually speak in the terms of the defendant as having a right or power. The right belongs to the person who's been injured.
I wasn't going to get in. thinking that the use of the expression public body for chapter 5 is being a point that was moved and contrasted with body over and body public.
That seems to support your view
that it is not an institution
that has the act.
That's
your point. We'd agree with that, Your Honor. That's the single greatest thing the legislature can do, is say that you're a body politic. That's a meaningful designation according to what this state in both VEPCO and in Short Pump. So with respect to those regional authorities, it is designated as a body politic. With respect to the community service boards, it is not.
In the Richmond factor analysis, have we ever dealt with a pure body, a public body, not
You mean, has there ever been an entity that was not designated as a body politic that the court has reviewed under the VEPCO factors? I believe in VEPCO itself, Your Honor. I might be mistaken about that, but also I believe York versus Peninsula Airport Authority. It is, and the two most significant ones, as the various lower courts have indicated, are both that label, which again is the easiest thing the legislature can do to tell the courts what that distinction is, and second, the power of eminent domain, which is the greatest power that a sovereign has to abrogate individual rights. The board has neither of those authorities. It also lacks numerous other authorities.
What sense would it make to grant the power of eminent domain to an entity that provides counseling to low-income individuals?
Well, for
why
instance,
would they need that?
Well, that would be up to the legislature whether or not it would need it. But for instance, suppose they wanted to build a clinic, and they wanted space for a clinic. Now, it might be the case functionally that what they do is they go back to the sponsoring municipality and say, hello, Spotsylvania, wouldn't it be nice to have this plot of land? Can you please condemn it? And then you can turn it over to us. That may be how things work out in real life, but under the VEPCO criteria, what the court has said is legislature, the more we give you of these authorities, the more likely it is that your municipality, it doesn't indicate whether or not you need that. Virginia, this court, and frankly the legislature, have taken a formal view of this test. There are other tests. One could take the functionalist view, which is that advocated by my colleague. But this court has specifically rejected that in Prendergast. It is not the work that the entity does, it is the nature of the entity itself. Texas, by example, uses a functionalist approach. It looks at the entity, what does it do? If entity A is sovereign, entity B is also doing it, then we're going to assume entity B is also sovereign. That is not the jurisprudence in the Commonwealth.
What about the argument from the other side that it's really not, it's essentially an arm of a municipality or a county or whatever, and so it's not some freestanding entity, it's just a division or a department of the locality.
Well, it's a division, if you might say, or an underling to numerous municipalities. I point out, it has so little independent power of its own that if Elon Musk walked in and said, I would like to give $100 million for community services to the Rappahannock Board, they could not accept that $100 million without going back to their counties and getting permission. They could not even accept the handbag.
But doesn't that indicate that there are agencies of the counties or the municipalities? The fact that they can't do those things, to me, makes them seem more like agents.
Well, the court has said that what the dividing line is that because they're created by the counties, that means that they are, it's a separate entity, right? It has not just an agency. So for instance, if you are an agency of a county, if you are a county health authority, you have any and all authorities that the county has, unless the county restricts it. But here it doesn't have that. It has really only.
What do you mean by that? They have any and all abilities that the county has. They can't tax people, right? I mean, they can't decide, hey, we're the health authority, we want to tax your car. I mean, they can't do that.
That's correct. But what they could do, for instance, is go to the county board and just get permission from that one county and accomplish the same thing. It could issue a bond on behalf of, the county could issue a bond on behalf of it.
Can they do the same thing for the community services board as well?
If it got a majority vote of all of the participating municipalities, it certainly could.
So are you drawing a distinction that is created by several municipalities as opposed to one or two municipalities? Do you find that to be a relevant fact?
The court has indicated that that's the relevant fact. Going back to VEPCO, recall that these were regional housing authorities that were at issue and created by multiple municipalities, cities, and or counties. And the court said, well, you're not the state, and we're going to look at whether or not you actually have the powers of the county.
But I don't think my recollection, my reading of VEPCO doesn't say that we say if you're created by 10 municipalities, that's different if you're created by two municipalities, or if the question is, what if you're just...
That certainly, it's not the number. It's never been the number, and I wouldn't want to suggest that to the court. But what the court has indicated, to go sort of back to big principles, is did this kind of entity exist at the time the Commonwealth was founded? Well, counties did, for sure, right? The Commonwealth did. Did these multi-jurisdictional agencies exist then? They did not. So we're going to assume, unless they look almost exactly like counties, that they don't have sovereign immunity. And if we are wrong, the General Assembly can fix that. Because otherwise, we have a jurisprudence that this court has specifically rejected, which says, just because you're a governmental body, you get immunity. Well, that's never been the law in the Commonwealth.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we have a case where we have addressed the fact that they have so little power, that they're so beholden to the municipality, that it would make sense that they would get the municipality. They can't do a lot of things with of the municipality. So that's the opposite of most of our cases, which say the more of these attributes you have. But if they have so little power to act, wouldn't it make sense that they would have the immunity of the municipality? Or the
I think the exception would then swallow the rule, Your Honor. We would then be at a position where we'd be asserting that because you're a governmental body of some kind, you must be immune. And it would also create this, I guess, another land where, well, if you're not quite the county, but you're almost like the county, you don't get immunity. But if you don't have enough, if you're so far removed, like we are here from being a county, then you do get immunity. And that would create even more discord in determining who had immunity, who didn't. Our suggestion would be that the bright line is the easiest way to go about this and the most consistent with the court's instructions, which is it's not up to the courts to tinker with it. It's up to the legislature to tinker with it. The court has consistently recognized that this results in incongruous results. I mean, as my colleague points out, it is absolutely true that if a state runs a behavioral health center, just like this one, the Commonwealth, the General Assembly builds a health center and does the exact same things, it is immune. Okay? We know that. But the court has said that's not the analysis we're going to engage in. We're not going to look at what they do. Other states do that, but this court would have to unwind 50 years worth of tests to say that we're going to go with you're performing an important governmental function, ergo you are immune. I agree with them that that is a convincing way of looking at the world, but it's not one that this court has chosen. And I am at a loss to figure out how, if VEPCO means what it says and short pump means what it says, that one can come to any conclusion other than that this particular body, which is entirely subordinate to these municipalities, might on its own be the equivalent of a municipality. I'm sorry, Mr. Chief Justice, you look like you were going to ask me something.
Well, it seems like to me this is unique in that the entity is mandated by the state, which makes it different from any of those other cases.
I think that's right, Your Honor. It is different in this. I am not sure if others are indicated. An interesting example is water authorities. So a county can on its own create a water authority. It can also do so in tandem with other municipalities. The legislature didn't make any distinction in the powers given to those. And in fact, if you go to the section of the statute regulating water authorities, it looks almost like the VEPCO list verbatim, as if they were copying it. And so the legislature can choose to do that if it wants to. It didn't make that choice here, and as your colleague pointed out, they even for some reason made a distinction between behavioral health boards and community services boards. I don't know why, but it did. And if one reviews the Virginia Code, there are all kinds of different permutations of what we would call the BEPCO criteria. Some have one or two, some have all six, some have pieces of them. BEPCO describes it as six criteria, but if you break out a couple of them, there are actually more than one authority within them.
They create some.
Yes, Your Honor. That's exactly the way we view it.
In a nutshell, does your analysis apply equally to all three types of services that operate in the pool? Does it also apply to administrative policy boards? Those two are subsets of the municipality.
Yes, I'm seeing I'm running out of time, Your Honor, but I would.
Of course, please answer the question.
I completely agree they have even less authority, Your Honor. So by definition, they could not possibly be the equivalent of a municipality and thus do not have sovereign immunity.
All right. Does any other justice have a question? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Audra Dickens of McCandlish-Holton, and I'm here on behalf of the Appalachee Rappahannock Area Community Services Board. This Court should uphold the Circuit Court's granting of RACSB's plea and bar and dismiss the case with prejudice. Affirming the Circuit Court's ruling as the correct outcome, whether this Court finds that RACSB is either not a separate legal entity that can be sued, that it is an arm of the Commonwealth and thus entitled to sovereign immunity, or that it is a municipality that is also entitled to immunity. Turning first to...
Obviously, can you see the question is, do they have defense of sovereign immunity? So there are three different things. It has to be sued, standing, and an affirmative defense of sovereign immunity. So I'm not understanding the can't sue.
Well, so if we look at the enacting statutes themselves, as my colleague has pointed out a number of times in his brief, there isn't an enumerated statutory authority to sue and be sued that has been granted to community service boards. And so therein lies part of the problem. If they do not have the power to sue in their own name, then how can they be sued?
Other entity.
So a couple points on that. If another authority, say the communities that created it, have the authority to sue on its behalf, then that goes to the argument that it's not a separate legal entity. And then also saying that, for example, a certain company, that it can't walk into this court and utilize the courts of the Commonwealth and sue someone to further its own interests, but then can be dragged into court to defend itself on other issues, seems to not be proper either. And And I understand, Your Honor, and I go back to specifically what is in the enabling statute as it relates to the community service boards. And the legislature did not set out specifically that community service boards have the power to sue and be sued, as they have granted to a number of other authorities that the Commonwealth has created. And so, in looking specifically at this issue of
about the third one that is not a separate, if we follow the BEP, norm of the common. Mm-hmm. Where would I go to look for the body of law that says it's not a separate legal entity, that third prong? What body of law am I looking to?
You're looking, Your Honor, at the actual enabling statutes that were passed by the General Assembly, much as my colleague has repeatedly pointed back to what powers did the General Assembly give it and what powers did it not give community service boards. And so we're looking at the fact that the creation of community service boards is a requirement and not optional, like many other authorities are. We're looking at how community service boards can accept or refuse property only by the permission of the localities that created it, rather than being able of its own volition to essentially do what it wants, being defined differently. And so the powers granted to the RACSB, I think, in terms of the enabling statutes themselves, is what the court looks at to determine, is it a legal entity that can be sued? And if so, then is it an arm of the Commonwealth? And is it, or do we follow these VEPCO factors and therefore it's a municipality?
Are there other entities that are analogous where the legislature has commanded localities to create them?
Your Honor, I am not aware of another type of board or authority that the Commonwealth has directed every city and county in the state to create.
But no, there's all kinds of permissive statutes. If you want to create a regional jail authority, you can do that. If you want to combine certain services, you can do that, et cetera. I was just trying to think if there was, I wasn't aware of one, but.
So is it your point that the VEPCO factors attributes don't apply because the municipalities are directed by the state to create these?
I think, Your Honor, that at least the way I have analyzed this case is that if RACSB can be sued, then the next step is it an arm of the Commonwealth? And if so, it's entitled to sovereign immunity. If the court finds that it is not an arm of the Commonwealth, then I think you turn to the VEPCO factors to determine whether it fits enough of the criteria laid out in VEPCO to also be entitled to sovereign immunity. And so,
you were also arguing that it was the sovereign immunity principles would apply the same as any suit brought against a locality.
That's correct.
So in other words, if you wouldn't sue Parks and Rec or Human Resources or whatever of the locality, you would sue the locality. It would be so-and-so versus City of Richmond, not so-and-so versus the Human Resources component of City of Richmond.
That's correct, Your Honor. It goes back to the Justice's point about an agency having so little authority that it's in sense part and parcel of the locality that created it.
What case is that? I'm looking for the case that directs us that is the analysis.
And I wish I had that case for you, Your Honor.
And if this is a unique situation that we haven't confronted before, where on the one hand, we're directing, the General Assembly's directed the creation of this entity. So one theory would be it's a separate entity and we do the VEPCO factors, or we figure out if it's an arm of the Commonwealth, or we figure out, is it functionally a department of a locality, and then whatever sovereign immunity the locality might get, this entity gets.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, I'm not aware of another type of agency that the General Assembly has created and told every city and county in the Commonwealth, you must create this board or this service for your citizens.
Who picks the board?
So the board is selected by the localities that create it. So in this case, it's five different localities. But the statute itself requires that the selections be made up of certain types of people. So for example, a third of the board must be made up of persons who have either received services from the board or have a family member who has received services from the board. And there's other requirements in terms of that it can't be all political appointees, or that a local...
I don't know that I need to burn up too much of your time,
sure,
on that.
Sure, but the statute itself dictates in part who is allowed to be on the board or how it is required to be made up, even if it is the locality that's ultimately making those appointments.
Why don't you touch on the VEPCO factors, because that is a part of...
Before you get to VEPCO, okay, let me ask one question about the Sue and B-Sue. Didn't your client's director testify that they can sue and be sued, and they sue and are sued regular?
She did, Your Honor, and in part I think that's why we're in front of you today, is because community services boards, as we have cited a number of the cases in our briefs, have been sued in the past, and I'm not sure that this particular argument or issue has been brought up before the court in the past. And so the director who testified, to the best of her knowledge, that yes, we've been sued before. I you know, whether she knows exactly whether a statute tells her she can be sued or not is a different issue, I think. Yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry, the VEPCO factors. So in looking at these six VEPCO factors that the court looks at to determine whether an agency or entity is considered a municipality and therefore immune from suit. A couple of them obviously we agree upon, but there's a lot that we don't. And the court, to my knowledge, has not held that any of these factors are determinative or dispositive, mm-hmm, or that an entity must possess all six of those factors in order to be considered a municipality and thus be protected by sovereign immunity. And so in looking at these factors, I can go down the list if that's what the court would prefer, but...
Well, because that was one possible ground of disposition, I thought I'd at least tee it up. I mean, it's well laid out in the briefs on each side, so it's up to you.
Why is it important that this particular body, board, is distinguished from authority, and that the legislature very carefully circumscribed the identity of this board as simply a public body, not a board of
authority? I think that's a very good question, and obviously I don't know the thinking behind what the General Assembly does or does not do, but clearly there was a reason that they designated community service boards under one chapter and then behavioral health authorities in another, and granted behavioral health authorities additional powers, I'll say, than they gave to...
All of this discussion really... What are we looking at? If it's
clearly stripped of certain activities governed by its own charges,
well, one, I think that goes back to the argument that it lacks the legal standing to be sued because it's not separate and apart from the entities that created it. But if
get over that particular.
I, I understand. And so looking to the factors that the court is going to look at, there is argument to be made with regard to each of the six factors that in some way, shape, or form, the Community Services Board does meet those factors, with the exception of eminent domain. We have conceded that they do not have eminent domain power. They don't need that power to carry out their purpose. But in looking at, you know, for example, the power to have a common seal, there's not a seal that is, it doesn't say in the statute you have the power to have a seal or to create a seal. But the definition of a seal doesn't necessarily mean the old wax seal that we would be used to seeing. It's also a logo, and certainly the Area Community Services Board has logos on their letterhead that are specific to the Community Services Board. The power to hold and dispose of its own personal and real property. Ms. Jean did testify that the Community Services Board owns vehicles, it owns property, it has gone through the process of purchasing property during her time there.
And what are those titled in, the property, the vehicles? Are they titled in the locality's name or the board's name? Or do we know?
I do not know the answer to that, Your Honor, though I'm certainly happy to find out for the court if
on the record. It's
understood. I do see that my time is dwindling very quickly, so if there are any
just
further
questions. One final
questions.
Question, and just for my information, are there pools of insurance available for something like this?
There are. So the Community Service Boards, at least this one in particular, is part of the Commonwealth's DRM coverage. If there are no further questions, thank you, Your Honor, so much.
Thank you, counsel. Please call the next case.